Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small really throw my body off balance?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Fruit ruins insulin sensitivity.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs. Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads. No fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
From the outside looking in, being a hip-hop producer looks like a fully-fledged dream job. Not only do you get to use your innate talent and make stacks of money from your creative exploits, but you also get to rub shoulders with your favorite rappers for a living, often getting platinum plaques with them in the process. But there's another side of that coin, in that despite the fact that they are so vital to the music we all love, they aren't treated in the same way that the MCs who spit over their beats are. Now, there are a select few producers who are universally respected, but it's fair to say that they don't always get their flowers. And all too often, they only acquire them from others in the game. While for the most part, there is an industry-wide plight where producers are seen as dispensable figures who can get ripped off at a moment's notice.
Oh, you know what's a good example? Check for the, Why I Gotta Be Like That, Farside. Okay. Then listen to Do For Love by Tupac. I basically chopped my record.
And shockingly, it's something that even famous producers inflict on one another in a fight to succeed and stand out in a crowded marketplace.
Hey, this is actually one of my favorite beats that I didn't really do. Brian All Day Miller did this beat, and he was supposed to get co-producer credit on it, and then they didn't give him credit on the album, and just had my name, and everybody come up to me in the party and say, oh, I love this beat, and I would say, hey, thanks.
When you venture online, it doesn't take too long to stumble into a horror story from an aspiring beatmaker who finds themselves struggling to get what they deserve, or faced being taken for granted by the rappers who are approaching them to work. Hey, I like your style. I need beats. Bet, I charge insert amount for a beat. Let me know what you want to get. Oh, word? I'll hit you up Friday when you get paid. 19 out of 20 times goes ghost. Had a couple of friends who only came over when they needed their YouTube beats recorded over. Did a whole album for them. And when I wasn't recording for them, they were getting on my ass like, yo bro, gotta get this shit out, man, the fans. Fuck you. Actually come hang out and chill. I'm not your slave. Now, these are stories from producers on the come up, trying their best to turn a profit out of a passion. So you'd figure that once you got a little name recognition, these producers were suddenly protected from all of these issues of being mistreated, lied to, or straight up stolen from. But the truth is that it happens all the time and in a whole variety of forms, some of which are only coming to the forefront in the technologically advanced era we're in today. But one issue that's been happening for years is disputes over credits on a song. These can rage on for years, with producers often having to fight a major label machine for the money or mention that they rightfully deserved. There are a whole host of ways that producers can be screwed out of these, but perhaps the most egregious of all comes when someone hears what you're doing and simply steals it outright. This is something even legendary producers like Pete Rock know the sting of all too well, with the cyclical behavior of one of hip-hop's most infamous execs robbing him of his rightful place of an all-time classic. As Pete recalls, he had sampled the legendary track Juicy Fruit from M2ME and let Puff hear his creation as it was playing in his home studio during a visit. And after hearing it, Diddy teamed up with Poke of Bad Boy's Trackmasters and remade the same beat. Afterwards, Pete discovered he had been robbed, but was given a remix on the single.
And I was making
the beat, because I knew they were coming, but I didn't know that he would like that beat. At that time, I was a little wet behind the ears, so I didn't get the proper credit I should have got. But at the same time, you know, I did do the remix, and, you know, I do tell people that the original belongs to me, too. You know, the whole idea, the whole thing.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, rest in peace, B.I.G.
Despite how flagrant this was, Pete remained level-headed about it and simply maintained that he wasn't going to be stuck with the consultation prize. I did the original version, but didn't get credit for it, he explained. He heard that shit, and next thing you know, it comes out. They had me do a remix, but I tell people, and I will fight to the end, that I did the original version of that. I'm not mad at anybody, he told Wax Poetics. I just want the correct credit. Y'all just...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Can't be robbing me. If you don't do the work, I'ma expose you. But in a testament to how hard it is for producers to get what they're due, even a legend like Pete Rock still hasn't been able to get this situation rectified to this very day. As when it comes to dealing with a label or an artist's lawyers, it's often your words against theirs. Even to this day, the same thing can occur, with producers not receiving the correct royalty figure out of major hits. A prime example of this is Jimmy Duval, a beatmaker who sued a late rapper's estate for over $1 million, proclaiming that it is important to note that as the producer behind Look At Me, an inarguable platinum hit, I was removed from all credits, which in turn meant that all rights and royalties owed to me were immediately averted. It goes without saying that everyone deserves credit for their contributing works. My friend is no longer with us, and I'm only asking to remain a part of the legacy that we created together with Look At Me. In the process, he wound up getting countersued by X's mom, leaving him in limbo, and trying to get what he felt he deserved.
That pretty much, without the consent of any of the creatives involved, they signed the publishing off to the sample at some point, his legal team. Because it ain't between me and X. Like, people like me and X, I don't deal with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's obviously not going to be me that figures out that this big problem exists in the publishing, but it's really the copyright for the record.
Okay.
So if you do something like you create that record, you own what you've done on the record. Right. And if you're not going to own it, you at least are going to go into some kind of discussion or legal go through where it's going to be decided you don't. But it can't just be given away by some random lawyer behind somebody else.
When you go to make a publishing deal, correct? If they don't know that you say, yeah, I made this track, but you don't have evidence of you making that track, they can't really.
Oh, sorry. You can have evidence like I'm already going through something like that. You know what I'm saying? Where like there's other people involved that are coming to me like, yo, what's going on? Like, and I'm like, yo, like I have the proof I made the track. You know, I even have stuff that says I own the track, but there's this, you know, at some point in time, unbeknownst to me, this transaction occurred. So now that's what we're dealing with.
Sometimes the apparent erosion of a producer's role in an artist's development can go even deeper. According to Jeremy Rose, he alleged that he had a role in molding the sound that would later become known as The Weeknd's signature aesthetic, only to have his contributions wiped. Apparently, Jeremy asked him if he wanted to work on something. I had this idea for a dark R&B project. Abel seemed to suit the project. When I met him, I heard some of the stuff that he was doing. It was called The Noise. They were a straight kind of R&B, just really light. And I was just like, oh, f*** that shit. No, man, let's talk about f***ing and getting too high and trying to f*** bitches and it not working out. Let's get really grimy about it. Reportedly, Tess Faye wouldn't respect his opinion or pay him. And things went sour when he asked Tess Faye for credit on the songs. I've never heard from him since I told him I don't want to work with him anymore, he said. No legal action has been taken, but Rose says we'll work on it, getting money. Eventually, his credits were restored, ensuring he got his props for the work on tracks like The Morning, Loft Music, What You Need, and others. But it's clear that he wasn't going to get it without a fight, and this is at the heart of the problem. Because unfortunately, this ability to discard a producer's requests is endemic within the culture, with their contributions overlooked or uncompensated in a way that rappers don't have to tolerate.
If you send me a beat and I rap on the beat and then you come trying to text me some crazy ass number, I'm not paying for your beat, bro. F*** your beat. Because I make my own beats. Do what the f*** I need your beat for. For all you producers that sending beats to my email, put the number, put your price in the email. Don't come after the song come out talking about you want this money, you want that, because you ain't gonna get it, nigga.
Despite the fact that he literally makes beats, attitudes like Soulja Boy's are very prevalent, as unfortunately, it's one side of the music industry where it seems like payment is treated like more of an option rather than a right. And for Soulja, he found out the hard way that producers aren't...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Willing to tolerate that. With various projects being pulled for copyright claims from creatives who said they weren't paid for their work. Due to this pronounced mentality in the industry, people such as Bobby Shmurda have always tried to push projects out without getting the proper permissions from those who worked on it.
I done made over $500,000 for the year and can't be that bad outside, my nigga. I'm trying to drop my project, but these is asking me clearances and these fucking producers is asking for some crazy shit. I don't know what rumors is going around. They think like, oh, Bobby's just dropping bags, this, that, whatever. I'm not giving niggas no fucking $10,000, $8,000 for no fucking producer song.
But while these situations are in which producers manage to halt the music from coming out ahead of time, there are plenty of occasions where they are strong-armed by big artists who use their output in ways that don't consent to or haven't been paid for. A little while ago, Ye took to his constantly controversial X account to complain about a music industry professional trying to get what he felt his clients were owed. Free Maiden tried to charge me $3 million for beats from people I showed how to make beats to, Ye wrote, adding in a shrug emoji directed at managers. And while he painted this as some form of extortion, the producers in question, Boogs and Brian, revealed that they hadn't gotten a thing for what they did. He owed us money for almost 3 years now, has refused to pay, yet keeps stealing our work, said the text, which also claimed that lawyers are getting this taken down within the hour. This isn't the only issue producers have faced when it came to Kanye's long-aborted record. ATL Jacob was also left scratching his head over the whole STEM player rollout, especially when it came to how royalties were supposed to work.
Everybody was confused, like, how we get paid.
Were you confused?
Yeah, I'm still confused. Like, if he banned for STEM player, now how we get paid?
Okay, I mean, were you disappointed that it didn't come out publicly? Because I'll be honest, I haven't heard that album. That's the one Kanye album I have never heard because I'm not going to buy a $200
literally
piece of electronics that I'm going to toss out after listening to
it. It's crazy because the STEM player, like, he'll upload the songs on the STEM player and they wasn't even complete songs. Like, none of the songs were done. He was just uploading demos.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, naysayers might question why people don't come out and voice their displeasure straight away. But when you're dealing with someone like Kanye West, there's always the problem that you're burning bridges with a big artist in the game. And thus, it might lead to you getting blackballed. On other occasions, it can lead to beef, such as when Drake tried to force his way onto Metro's Heroes and Villains record.
Really, it was a song I had did with Travis and Thug originally for my album. I was in the studio with Drake one time because we were going to do some stuff on my album and he just wanted to hear some songs from my album. Then he heard that one and really wanted to get on it. But like, I was letting him know that it was really just done for real and I was really just set on how it was. I was like, Brian ain't trying to sell you no dream. Like, it's really like just locked in. I'm locked in where it was. But he hit me and was just like, man, let me see if it's just anything he could add to it. And he was like, if you don't like it, then whatever. So He did some stuff, a couple parts was cool, but like I just felt like just even with like Slime Verse and Trav Verse and the outro, it was just already like, it just really wasn't no room. It was just wasn't no room. It wasn't nothing personal, it just wasn't no room. So I just ended up using the original and I guess the other one just leaked or something.
Over time, this led to ill feeling, including lines like, Metro shut your hoe ass up and make some drums. And the infamous BBL Drizzy challenge. For others, beat theft can lead to their creation being enlisted in a way that they never intended to. This is exactly what occurred to esteemed producer Pierre Bourne, who had to endure a beat that he'd originally made for Trippie Redd falling into the hands of 6ix9ine without his consent. The end result was Gumma, a platinum-selling song that featured his work that he wanted nothing to do with.
I never wanted to have anything to do with that song just because of how they went about releasing it. It was very disrespectful. Very like, fuck you, basically. I didn't want the money, but everyone was shocked because I...
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver, unless I'm fasting for 36 hours. Because that resets your whole, like, everything. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Cygnos.
Like and subscribe.
I was like, no. And they didn't understand. Like, I didn't give him that shit. This shit is weird. I called Metro. I was like, bro, you, this ever happened to you? And he was like, hell nah. So I really was like, oh, shit, say less. This is not normal. It was just weird because I was in Australia with Drake. Like, my life was just going up the way I wanted it to. When they started the whole process, they just was like on some fuck that shit. Before that song was released on Apple Music, we went through so much back and forth of no's. So many no's to where it was a miscommunication that a no turned into a yes. Or I didn't say, I never said yes. So everybody was so thirsty over the play.
On other occasions, the problem lies in a rapper not necessarily stealing your work directly in the vein of a 6ix9ine and Pierre situation, but going out of their way to try and replicate the feel without your permission. This brings us to a situation such as what occurred between repeat offender Diddy and Hitmaker. As the acclaimed producer recalled to the Joe Budden podcast, Diddy screwed him out of cash by bringing him aboard to replicate his sound before cutting him out of the equation.
I sent him a 10 clip. It's crazy shit. I think Dabble was in it, and he was like, he hit me back like, I want that Berg shit. I'm like, stop trying to be me. Like, it sound like you trying to do what I do. Like, send me some different shit. Da, 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 da. So I didn't send him nothing, right? I was like, fuck it. Next thing I know, they deciphered my records and reached out to everybody that I collaborated with and dissected me from the situation. So he's calling Cardiac to his house like, you need to be one of the hitmen. And this, that, and third. Yeah. Next thing I look up, Eric Billinger is in the Bahamas with motherfucking Puff and they singing songs together. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, Eric Billinger done lived in the fucking LA his whole life. And I was like, damn, this is really diabolical. Like, so I wasn't fucking with him.
Given situations like this, there's every reason to assume that artists themselves are the problem. However, this isn't always the case. In some cases, the shady behavior happens behind the scenes without the artist even knowing, which makes it all the more infuriating once they finally find out. This situation was highlighted by Tony Yayo during one of his many recent media appearances. When reflecting on the creation of the legendary 50 Cent track Wanksta, he recalled how the original beat was made by a man named Jay Praise, with 50's then manager Sean Money XL taking credit without properly compensating him.
If Sean Money could be mad, I still love him, but Sean Money didn't make Wanksta. Another producer made Wanksta.
Damn, Sean Money for a beat.
Yeah, look, the that made Wanksta, I don't even remember him. That's how bad he got jerked. And I remember being in the car with 50 and Sean Money was there and the producer's calling like, yo, Sean Money saying this is beat. So 50 looking at him like he didn't even sign the contract. 50 might have had a little piano produced by Sean Money. I'm like, damn, that's up, bro. It's just being truthful. I'm not trying to diss him or not, but I just seen, yo, this is how business go. You could produce something, I add a little string, I made it.
Other times, the way that music is categorized when it is unveiled leads to the producers getting duped. Because as it turns out, there are different rates when dealing with certain mainstream label-backed artists, depending if it's on an album or a different format of release. And this is something that the acclaimed E-Dan found out the hard way when working with Wiz Khalifa.
The Khalifa album, I don't know if they called it a street album. They came up with some really clever name that essentially meant everyone involved, you're gonna get paid, you know, half what you normally do. You know, it's a thing. I mean, I've seen it happen really more often in the last few years. Anything to save a buck for these labels.
Clearly, there are a whole host of ways in which labels or other professionals in the industry can sneakily withhold money from producers. But there are times when a producer can challenge what's gone on and have positive resolutions. A recent example of this came in the form of a dispute between Mexican OT's team and Kyle Beats over his platinum-selling track Johnny Dang. According to Kyle, the track had been out using his friend DeRez's loop for 11 months prior to him even realizing. Yet once he realized how big the track was, it led to a campaign to get his friend credited for it.
So apparently there's a song by the Mexican OT.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On The Case, the podcast.
Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
That uses one of my loops from the Nightmare drum kit, I think. One of my free drum kits. You know what? I don't even recognize the loop. Oh my God, dude. That's the fucking melody, dude. Oh, you know what, dude? I didn't even make these melodies, dude. Derez, my boy Derez, dude, made these. Why didn't anyone hit me up? Who produced this, dude? Toby Ali, Jonah Abrams, and Johnny Snipes. But where's Derez?
After a little back and forth that would restore your faith in the music industry, they got what they were looking for.
The loop for Johnny.
I'm gonna say, hey, the loop for Johnny Dangles from a pack of mine. Nobody cleared it with me before I went out. Here's my number.
I don't know, dude. I know in the past I've seen people that just get screwed. So I just want to approach this in a way where it's not like I'm coming for their necks. It's like, hey, this is our loop. Nobody cleared it with us. Nobody got paid. Nobody got credited. The song just went platinum and we got nothing, bro.
Yeah, I'm familiar with you, bro. I didn't even know that was a loop that the guy used. I was wondering how he even got, because the guy that did that beat, this is like his first placement ever. So first placement ever, and it goes platinum. So he didn't have a catalog. So I was wondering, how did he get your stuff anyway? Send that to me. You can actually text it to me as well.
Yeah, I got it. I'm gonna text you on the phone, call right now. See.
And while it was clear that money wouldn't change hands, the man ultimately got a plaque.
Put like this, Kyle. I'm honestly on your side because I've been in your situation. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I know how that is. And like it wasn't just with a platinum record; it was with a 5x platinum. You know what I'm saying? So I lost out on old school. That's one thing about me that ever do that to another producer.
And if you're wondering if Derez got paid or not, well, no. This pack was originally released through a website I had called Pure Sound, where it was labeled as completely royalty-free.
Due to the fact that the loop was released as part of a free pack, it ensured that there was no need to pay a fee. But it is a situation which highlights how easily someone's intellectual property can be taken in the internet world without anyone even realizing. But how do we police this? And is there any way for producers to protect themselves from the prospect of theft that'll leave them robbed of the acclaim or cash that's rightfully theirs? Well, the big problem with that is that there's no industry standard across the board. Every producer is an independent contractor in a sense, so this makes them seem far more dispensable in the eyes of the labels and artists alike. Because of this open disdain for them, Sunny Digital put forth the concept of a union.
I got a real legit question. Why don't producers get nominated for shit? And we do all the fucking base work and shit, though. Don't get no awards, don't get no recognition. All the artists just sweep up everything. You dig what I'm saying? That shit crazy as hell, bro. Y'all need to start respecting the producers a little more, big and small, in between. It don't matter. They all making all the sounds to this shit, though. You take the beats off them vocals, then y'all know them shit's gonna sound like shit. Man, these niggas out here making these fire-ass beats and shit, though. If y'all don't show respect or showing love, though, they ain't gonna keep on doing this shit. I put the inspiration there for them. Y'all ain't doing this shit.
But it's clear that the industry has managed to divide and conquer, often preying on the new and inexperienced to get what they want at a lower rate. There's always going to be some kid on SoundCloud or at home making beats for the first time that will bend or fold to certain circumstances, said Hitmaka. Alongside the willingness to scam producers without a second thought, the other problem is that they aren't seen as the same footing as a rapper. Because while an established MC can always try and hit it big, producers are at the mercy of their sound being hot at that time. This is a problem which DJ Mustard has been on the receiving end of before coming through the other side. Recently, Ty Dolla $ign revealed that he originally had one of the beats that wind up being among the standout tracks on Kendrick's GNX, until his label shut down the idea of doing a project.
Hi, I'm Paul Azan, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paul Azan, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Stick with the Cali rapper before it could ever happen.
This one.
reincarnated.
Ain't that Squabble Up?
This one, Hey Now, Say Now, right? This beat was my beat.
Oh, where?
Me and Mustard were working on an album together. We did a whole album together. This shit was hard. There was a song on the album with that same beat that I did called 5 in the Morning. I didn't drop it.
And why?
I didn't drop the album because at the time the label gonna tell me, you know what? Mustard's not hot right now. Maybe you need to do something. I swear to God.
That's crazy.
Think about their money first and foremost.
Yeah,
not
I get
thinking
how it
about
works.
The creativity.
A year later, his label would have much preferred that he teamed up with Mustard than Ye. And this is indicative of how your buzz is dependent on your connection to others at that time. Because let's face it, Mustard doesn't get a Heinz collab or
be sure doing 18K. I'm not saying it's amazing. Do I think it's like super bad? No.
This, in a nutshell, is at the heart of the dissonance when it comes to what producers mean to the music industry. Because while they are treated as irrelevant, all the evidence that they're important is right there in front of us. Producers and engineers are crucial to an artist. Doesn't matter how good you rap or sing. Your beat selection sucks, it's over. Still, even a legend like Babyface, who has literally helmed iconic tracks by everyone from Beyonce to TLC, has to face being treated like a second-class citizen compared to mainstream artists.
This new trend that we're seeing in R&B, where we're seeing more of a fusion, we're seeing people blend the genre with pop, blend the genre with hip-hop and rock as well.
Yes, I think it's interesting.
Chapel!
You guys want to do that? Go do that.
Hello, how's it going?
How are you doing music interviews and do not know that pop/R&B/rap was fused before by this man? No matter how far you get in the game, there's always the chance that you're going to face some major issues that resemble those that the new upstart producer might face. Not too long ago, DJ Payne One, a man who has worked with Jeezy, Lil Baby, Ludacris, Nipsey Hussle, Polo G, Public Enemy, and Yo Gotti, among others, claims that the transactional nature of the job is the problem.
People love to shame producers because producers are in customer service. Think about it, every other customer job. I love that you brought up customer service. Every other customer service job out there doesn't have to be music producers. Anyone who's selling a product and communicating with potential buyers of that product, they're the most shit on people in any career field. Just part of American culture. On the one hand, producers, we're creatives. On the other hand, if we're selling beats online, then we become our own customer service representatives.
Over time, he's even faced issues like stolen beats, but he claims that it's not enough for him to become discouraged.
This is why I don't upload my beats anymore. Now that's your choice. I just think it's the wrong choice. You're limiting yourself. You're cutting off all of these potential income streams and you're hiding your music from the world. Now, don't use my situation as an excuse to give up on your dreams. Look, I filed DMCAs against the person who stole my beats and within a day, his entire catalog was wiped from the internet. I mean, it took a little time, but I handled it and I'm fine. I love my career. I love making music. Life is good. I've never in a million years gonna let something like this stop me from releasing my music to the world.
Because while it would be easy to get focused on the countless negatives, there are times where the hustle pays off. Just look at someone like Young Keo, a young producer from the Netherlands who is now responsible for the biggest song of all time after Lil Nas X bought his beat online. The common story was that he sold Old Town Road for $30, implying he missed out on millions. But Young Keo maintained that this was a misconception and cleared up that he was on top of his business.
Can you clear up the misconception? Because I think a lot of producers are like, yo, he sold the beat for $30, and they think that's all.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Everybody be saying like, oh, he doesn't make money off the song and stuff like that. But there's a difference between selling and leasing. I actually leased the beat to him. Even if you sold it exclusively, you still like keep a percentage of your publishing. Right. Right. So even if I sold it, I would still make money. But people just think like I sold the beat and like all the rights or whatever. I mean, that's really not how it works.
And as to how he did it, he simply suggested that producers need to have the foresight to put things in place to ensure that you'll get what you're owed.
because I was always thinking like, okay, I need to put like an agreement. If somebody buys a beat and it blows up, I'm protected. I was always thinking like, okay, nothing is going to blow up, but just to be sure, yeah, and it actually happened. So, and I was, because of the contract, I was safe. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Is there anything specific that like, you have to put in that contract?
But it was like how many streams you can do with each lease, you know? So if you get the first lease, it's like a million streams and you know, it's just, it's all the numbers, you what you can do and what you can't.
Despite how glamorous it might seem on paper, being a producer is an uphill battle. And unfortunately, it's only getting more complex in this AI-infused world. And these days, it looks like they're being done dirty by one of their own. Since it became prominent, Timbaland has been a staunch supporter of AI. Within interviews, the Grammy Award-winning producer insisted it was untainted in a way that modern music isn't, effectively making it superior.
I just don't feel like ain't nobody moving me this already that we know. The music sound bland, it sound boring, mm-hmm, and which, you know, we talk about AI and artificial intelligence, but shuck, that's the only thing that has a pure soul right now.
Yeah.
That you can create something and just be, express your true feelings and it comes out beautiful.
Some of his contemporaries have been in favor, claiming that it's good for him to be on the ground floor. I'm happy that Tim is into AI, Swizz Beatz remarked, because all the white people in it, why can't we get in it? I don't care how. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So this is Tim's entry point into AI. Whether we like it or not, it's an entry point. But others have had issues with his involvement in Suno, which is an AI beat building platform, as well as Stage Zero, an AI-oriented company that he is at the forefront of. For one thing, Russ suggests that he's basically trying to negate the autonomy of artists and producers to cut them out of the process.
I just feel like it's coming off like the motivation behind signing AI artists and doing all this is control. And you're not looking for artists, you're looking for machines that follow orders. You're trying to eliminate the messiness, aka the beauty of humanity, and looking at artists like these inconvenient employees. You're kind of doing this because you want compliance, which isn't collaboration, it's not creativity, it's control. And so at that point, you're not building art, you're building product. And you're also telling the whole world that the ideal artist is the one who shuts up and obeys.
Meanwhile, Young Guru has had some tough questions.
That was the number one question I seen. It was like, yo, are you training AI off of our music?
First of all, I can't train. I don't own the company to do the training data. Now, what I do, I am a partner of Suno. Some people don't like Suno, and some people do. I use Suno for a tool. So as I was with them building on this tool, I uploaded all my beats, how I use it as a producer tool, like a sampler. And what I did, I started learning more and more how to become a prompt operator.
And already, there's been issues that suggest their concerns were worthwhile. During one of Timbaland's tutorials on Suno, it became apparent that a producer by the name of K Fresh was ripped off.
Shout out to this producer here. I've seen him on my timeline many a times. I want you to listen to not only this beat, but I want you to listen for his producer tag. Kick. You'll hear it in a second. Listen to this for a second. You heard that? Pay attention to that. This is a beat that says in the title, Timbaland makes a beat with Suno AI. Listen to this beat for me.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn. The podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You let me know what you hear. Not only are those elements of the sound of the beat that you just heard, in my opinion, but you also hear the man's tag. What are we doing here? That's that man's fucking beat with his beat tag. This was the main concern that folks had when they saw this announcement. You're not going to use my music, right? There's no chance that my music went into the learning of that.
And after the fact, Timbaland, who has always claimed that he wanted to champion creativity, had to issue an apology. Although it was an instrumental aspect of the music we know and love, there are clearly plenty of pitfalls for those who are behind the boards in hip-hop. So before you open up Ableton, Logic, or even Fruity Loops, make sure you keep your eyes open. Because if you're not careful, you'll get exploited in the blink of an eye. Until next time, my friends. Peace.